The meeting room is too quiet for a place that just survived a scandal. HR staff sit with notebooks open, eyes fixed on the front, while the new ethics slide glares from the wall. No relationships, no conflicts, no exceptions. At the front, Nadia Blake explains the rules in a steady voice. Beside her, Marcus Hill clicks through the slides and nods along like every word is binding. Their shoulders never touch. Their eyes almost never meet. On paper, they are the guardians of the hospital, the ones who keep everyone else honest. Off paper, they share a bed, shared passwords, and a secret that can wreck them both. The hospital is still bleeding trust after the last harassment case, and leadership is in no mood for another headline. When a fresh complaint lands in their inbox and their boss calls them the perfect objective team, Nadia feels the floor shift. The only thing more dangerous than the case is the truth about who is leading it. Chapter 1. Above suspicion, the boardroom is too bright for this early in the morning. Posters about dignity and respect cling to the walls. The hospital is still limping from the last harassment scandal. Nadia Blake sits near the front with a legal pad she does not need. Senior HR officer. No one in the room knows she left Marcus Hill's apartment less than 3 hours ago. On the screen, a slide fills the wall in red letters. No romantic or sexual relationships that create a conflict of interest. The head of HR, Colton Reese, lets the quiet stretch before he speaks. We cannot survive another mess like the last one, he says. We move too slow. We missed signals. That will not happen again, especially not from this department. Chairs creak. Pens tap. Officially, Nadia and Marcus are safe, the people who teach everyone else how not to cross lines. Off the clock, they are one long risk with shared keys and shared lies. Nadia keeps her eyes on the slide. She can feel Marcus across the table, a weight at the edge of her vision. Colton flips through more slides. Reporting channels, examples of conflicts, vague promises about culture. Nadia has used the same words to push terminations and to tell shaking employees that the hospital needs protection more than they do. Last point, Colton says. HR must be above suspicion. That is not a slogan. If there is any situation that could be questioned, you disclose it early. You do not make me find out from legal or from a hotline report. The words land like a warning shot. Nadia forces her face to stay blank. Marcus writes a few lines in messy handwriting. Colton kills the slide. Meeting over. Ethics refreshers with department heads start this afternoon. Clinical operations goes first. Nadia, Marcus, you are leading it. Make it hit. Understood, Nadia says. We will take it, Marcus adds. The group breaks apart. In the hallway, Marcus falls in beside her, close enough to talk, far enough to look proper on camera. You are wound tight, he says. That line, she answers, above suspicion. We are above suspicion, he says. No one is looking at us. Until they are, she says. One person connects a keycard log and a late-night message, and we stop being invisible. He glances around. The corridor buzzes with staff and noise. Save it for tonight, he says. Right now we have a picture to keep clean. By the time they reach the HR suite, Nadia has locked her expression into neutral. Open desks, glass offices, fake plants. She nods to a few colleagues, steps into her office, and wakes her computer. Her inbox is stacked. Leave approvals, policy questions, a draft from legal. She clears the easy tasks, then sees a new message at the top, flagged urgent. Subject line, new complaint intake, urgent review. The note from intake is short, came in at 6:14. Alleged harassment, staff nurse, looks serious. Nadia opens the attachment. The complaint is written in tight, angry lines. A nurse describes a supervisor who will not stop pushing for drinks after shifts and private time off the schedule. Late messages, comments during rounds, hints that shifts will get worse if she keeps saying no. Nadia reads the unit name twice. Medical Surgical East, she knows that floor, she knows the supervisor, she also knows who else has a tie to that unit. Marcus rolls his chair to her doorway. You look like you swallowed a thumbtack, he says. What is it? She tilts the screen toward him. He leans in, his jaw tightens when he reaches the line that lists the unit. MedSurg East, he says, that is Kayla's floor, his cousin, his only family in the city. The air in the office feels heavier. She is not named, Nadia says, but people talk. If this blows up, it will hit everyone on that schedule. Before Marcus can answer, Colton fills the doorway. His tie is crooked. His eyes look more tired than they did in the boardroom. You saw the intake, he says. Just now, Nadia answers. We cannot let this drag, Colton says. The building is jumpy. One rumor and we are back in the papers. I want this one tight and fast, no leaks, no drama. You two are my cleanest pair, no baggage, no noise. You are taking point as joint leads. Marcus is ready. We can handle it. Nadia feels the words rise in her throat. We should check for any close relationships on that unit, she says. Family ties, prior complaints, anything that could look like bias. We need be sure we are clear. Colton nods, hearing only process. Do your usual screenings. From where I sit, you two are as objective as it gets. That is why I want you on it. The praise feels like a trap. We will take it, Nadia says, because refusing would light up every radar in the building. Colton leaves. The hallway noise returns. Marcus closes her office door until it clicks. You tried to push it away, he says. I tried to do my job, she answers. You have a cousin on that floor. That is a tie. She is not in the complaint, he says. She is one more nurse in the background. If we step aside every time someone knows someone, nothing moves. This is not casual, Nadia says. This is a harassment complaint on your cousin's unit while the hospital is still bleeding from the last one. You heard him this morning. Any tie that can be questioned should be disclosed. His calm is gone. So we walk into his office and tell him we broke the clean line a year ago. Tell him we are sleeping together and hope he believes we kept every case straight. The word hits like a slap. Nadia does not look away. I am saying we should control how he finds out, she says. If this case gets messy and compliance pulls logs, they will see the late nights, the shared exits, the calls. If we confess now, Marcus says, we hand them a neat story. HR hiding a relationship while preaching ethics. They cut us loose and call it reform. We are not the story yet, she says. We still have a choice. He steps closer, voice low. Our choice is simple. Do clean work, follow procedure, and keep quiet. Or blow this up ourselves before anyone asks a single question, which gives us better odds. Nadia looks back at the complaint. The nurse wrote that she did not know who to trust and that she felt trapped between her schedule and her safety. We have to decide before the first interview, she says. Disclosure now, or we carry this secret into every question we ask. The words hang between them in the small glass room. Outside, the office keeps moving, unaware that the next scandal might already be sitting at Nadia's desk, waiting for the wrong choice. Chapter 2, Shadow Lines. The anonymous report lands before lunch. Compliance flags it high priority. Legal is copied. HR leadership gets a summary with most of the details redacted. Nadia does not see it when it first hits. She feels it. The mood in the HR suite shifts. People get quieter at their desks. Doors close more often. Someone from compliance walks through the floor with a tablet and a tight jaw. They never do that without a reason. Nadia finishes a call with the nurse from MedSurg East. The woman sounds tired and scared. She wants the supervisor stopped. She does not want to lose her shifts. We will handle this with care, Nadia tells her. We will focus on behavior and impact. We will keep your name as protected as possible. She hangs up and starts typing notes into the case file. When she tries to save, the system freezes for a moment and then accepts. A small message flashes at the corner of the screen. Access logs updated. There is nothing strange in that. It still makes her pause. She opens the audit trail. It shows her entries, Marcus's entries, and one more line. A compliance account pulled read access to the file 20 minutes earlier. No message, no heads up. They are watching. Marcus leans against her doorframe. He looks like he has jogged upstairs. Got something spicy, he says. You see the legal blast. I am looking at something else, Nadia says. Close the door. He steps in and shuts it. She spins the monitor so he can see the logs. Compliance pulled the file, she says. They are inside our case already. Routine check, he says, but his voice does not match the words. Routine checks come with a note, she says. This is quiet. He shifts, then opens his phone. You need to read the email from legal. He forwards it. It lands in her inbox a second later. Subject: conflicts and custodianship on sensitive HR matters. The body is brief. Legal is reminding HR leadership that any undisclosed relationships or conflicts inside HR that could touch investigations must be disclosed without delay. They also mention that all recent high-risk cases will be reviewed for chain of custody. That includes access logs and communication trails. The timing feels surgical. They are circling something, Nadia says. You feel it. Maybe, Marcus says. Or maybe they are bluffing to scare us after the last mess. She turns in her chair. Do you want to bet your job on the word maybe? He looks away first. The afternoon ethics session with clinical operations drags. Nadia stands at the front, going through the slides she has known for years. Marcus runs the examples. They talk about power, consent, and conflicts. The room is stiff. Managers ask careful questions and pretend not to think about their own lines. Halfway through, her phone buzzes with a new alert. Another access on the MedSurg case file. Same compliance account, same quiet pull. She keeps her face blank and finishes the session. Back in the HR suite, people are talking in low voices near the printers. Nadia catches fragments. Hotline, anonymous, HR named. Someone says the word conflict too loudly and then drops to a whisper. She does not ask. She goes straight to her office and opens the audit log for the general HR investigations shared folder. A separate file, tagged anonymous, shows as newly created. Owners, compliance. Viewers, head of HR, legal, compliance lead. The title is short. Allegation, potential undisclosed relationship within HR impacting neutrality. The words throb in her eyes. Marcus is not at his desk. His jacket hangs on his chair. His laptop is gone. His phone goes to voicemail. She feels the floor tilt again. Colton calls a quick huddle 5 minutes later, leadership only. Nadia sits beside him in the small conference room. Two senior managers slide in. The door closes. You all saw the note from legal, Colton says. And you may have heard that compliance has a new anonymous complaint on the board. It references HR behavior. The room tightens. We do not know if it is smoke or fire, he says. What we do know is that our credibility is hanging by a thread. So I want every one of you thinking about optics and exposure. If there is any relationship, any tie, any outside business that could be seen as a conflict on a sensitive case, you tell me now. I am not finding out later from a report. His eyes move across the table. They land on Nadia for a second too long. She holds his gaze. Nothing on my side, one manager says. Another nods in agreement. Colton looks at her. Nadia. She feels her pulse in her throat. Nothing to report, she says. The lie tastes dry. Fine, he says. Then we stay ahead of this. Watch your documentation. Watch your access. If compliance asks for anything, you give it. No defensiveness, no resistance. If we are clean, we will come through clean. The meeting breaks. Nadia walks back to her office with her skin buzzing. Marcus is still not at his desk. She finds him later in a cramped meeting room near the back of the floor. His laptop is open on the table. A chat window covers half the screen. He looks up too late to close it. On the screen, a message thread glows. Nicknames. Teasing. A line from Nadia from 2 nights ago about leaving her badge at his place and him writing that he will bring it home tomorrow. Her name is not visible, her number is. The tone is obvious. The door is half open. Anyone walking past could see enough to start guessing. You left this like that, she says. Out here. I stepped out for 2 minutes, he says. I thought I locked it. 2 minutes is enough, she says. If compliance pulled this room on camera and then checked device access, they would have a buffet. He slams the laptop shut. I get it. No, she says. You do not. There is an anonymous report about HR. Compliance is inside our case files. Legal is telling leadership to dig up undisclosed conflicts. You leave chat windows open with intimate messages. Keep your voice down, he says. Why? She asks. You already did the loud part. He stares at the closed laptop. His hands are tight on the edges. What do you want me to say? He asks. That I screwed up. Fine, I screwed up. I am tired. I am stretched. I am trying to hold this case together. And keep my cousin from being dragged as collateral. This is bigger than your cousin, she says. They are looking at HR as a problem, not a solution. If they find out from logs and screenshots that we hid this, we are done. He looks up, his eyes are raw. If we confess now, he says, we hand them the headline they want. HR officers in secret relationship while leading harassment investigations. They feed us to the hospital and say the system works. And if we wait, she says, we hand them betrayal. You heard Colton? He asked us to disclose. On record, we stayed quiet. He laughs once, short and bitter. You think he will protect us if we walk in and tell him? He will walk us right to legal and wash his hands. I think, she says, that controlling the story is better than watching them write it without us. He steps closer. His voice drops to a hard whisper. We have done clean work, he says. We kept every case separate. We did not steer outcomes for each other. All that is real. That has to count. It will not matter, she says. Not once they see we lied about the foundation. The meeting room feels smaller now, stale air, thin walls. He moves away, hands on his hips. So what is your plan? We walk into his office, say we crossed the line a year ago, hand over our phones, and hope for mercy. We tell him the truth before compliance drags it out of the system, she says. We put it in our own words. We show where we kept controls in place. We ask to be recused from cases where our judgment could be questioned. And if they say that is not enough, then we take the hit, she says, on our terms. A sharp knock hits the door. Colton opens it before they can answer. His eyes flick from one to the other, then down to the closed laptop. Got a minute, he says, both of you. They follow him back to his office. The blinds are half closed. A printed email sits on his desk. Nadia recognizes the header from legal. Colton stays standing. I am going to ask a direct question, he says, and I expect a direct answer. There is chatter about HR and conflicts. Compliance is looking hard at our recent cases. They are asking why certain files show unusual after-hours access and why two of my officers seem to move through the system like a single unit. He fixes his eyes on them. Is there anything about your relationship to one another that I need to know right now? Silence stretches. Nadia can hear the blood in her ears. Marcus stares at a spot on the floor. She opens her mouth. Marcus speaks first. We work well together, he says. We talk after hours because the caseload demands it. If there is an issue with how the logs look, we can walk you through our process. Colton does not blink. That is not what I asked, he says. Nadia feels the moment tearing in half. One path is confession and free fall. The other is denial and more time on a crumbling ledge. She looks at Marcus. He does not look back. Her answer, once it leaves her mouth, will choose for both of them. Chapter 3, The Breakpoint. Compliance starts the formal investigation at 8 the next morning. No warning. No soft landing. Nadia walks into the HR suite and finds two compliance officers already waiting in Colton's office. Their binders are thick. Their questions start before the door even shuts. Sit, the lead investigator says. Her voice is steady. Her eyes are cold. We are conducting a review into potential conflicts that may have influenced HR investigations over the past 12 months. You will answer directly. You will answer truthfully. This interview is being recorded. Nadia sits. Her pulse thumps a slow, heavy beat. She folds her hands on the table. No shaking, no tells. The investigator opens her binder. We have access logs, she says. Late nights, shared case edits, overlapping entries at hours that suggest close coordination. We also have screenshots from a meeting room camera yesterday afternoon. One of you left a device open to a personal chat thread that appears intimate. We will verify the contents. She waits. Nadia feels the weight of the choice from yesterday pressing in from all sides. Marcus wanted silence. She wanted control. Time has run out. There is no middle now. She clears her throat. I will speak to my part, she says. I have been in a personal relationship with Marcus Hill for 1 year. We did not disclose. That is the truth. Pens stop. The room stills. A long second passes. The investigator continues. Did your relationship influence decisions on any investigations? No, Nadia says. We kept separation between cases. We followed procedure. We did not interfere in outcomes. You understand the breach, the investigator says. Yes, Nadia answers, I do. When they release her, she walks out of the office and does not look back. The hallway feels narrow. People look at her, then look away. She goes to the end of the floor, into an empty break room, and waits for the thrum in her chest to settle. It does not. Marcus is called next. He is inside for almost an hour. Nadia hears pieces through the thin walls, raised voices, the investigator pressing hard, Marcus pushing back, then a silence that lasts too long. When he emerges, his face is tight, jaw locked. He does not look at her. He walks past her without slowing, straight to the far stairwell, and disappears down the steps. She waits, but he does not return. At noon, HR leadership, legal, and compliance gather in a small conference room with the blinds drawn, paper cups, hard chairs, stale air. Colton stands at the head of the table. His voice is low. the hospital is not absorbing another credibility hit, he says. Not from this department. We will take corrective action today. The compliance lead reads the findings. Undisclosed relationship. Two officers jointly assigned to sensitive cases where neutrality must be unquestioned. A pattern of access that suggests coordination outside protocol. No evidence of case tampering. No sign of biased outcomes. Intent is not the issue, she says. Perception is. Legal follows. Their tone is sharper. The hospital must show it protects investigations. The board is watching. Trust is thin. Strong consequences signal control. The decisions land one by one. Marcus will be given two options. Resign cleanly or accept a demotion to a non-investigative role with a probation period. The phrasing is polite. The meaning is not. Nadia will be removed from senior duties. No leadership tasks. No oversight of investigations. She will be reassigned to policy work outside the main HR chain, effective immediately. They ask if anyone objects. No one speaks. Colton walks them out. His face carries a mix of anger and exhaustion. This didn't have to get here, he says quietly. You could have told me. Nadia holds her ground. We should have, she says. I own that. He nods once. Not forgiving, just accepting the line of consequence already set in motion. She finds Marcus 2 hours later in a small courtyard behind the hospital. He is sitting on a concrete bench, shoulders low, hands clasped between his knees. His badge sits beside him. He does not look up when she steps closer. They gave me the choice, he says. His voice is flat. I took the resignation. Nadia sits at the far end of the bench, not touching, not close, just near enough to hear him. I tried to tell them where we kept the boundaries, he says. Told them we split cases. Told them we never forced an outcome. They did not care. They just wanted a clean break. She listens. They think you talked first to save yourself, he says, to make me look like the holdout. That is not why I said it, she answers. I said it because hiding was already done. They had the logs, the screenshots. If I waited, they would have written the story without me. He finally looks at her. His face is tired in a way that feels older than the morning. You chose control, he says. I chose hope. She takes that in. It lands hard. Where does that leave us? She asks. He looks at the courtyard bricks, at his badge, at the doors he will walk through for the last time. I do not know, he says. Right now, all I see is the cost. Cars move in the distance. A delivery truck beeps as it reverses. The city hums around them, uncaring. Nadia stands after a moment. She picks up his badge and sets it gently beside him. I'm sorry, she says. The words feel thin, but they are what she has left. He does not answer. She walks toward the building. The hallway swallows the noise behind her. She passes the HR suite without stepping inside. She heads for the exit that leads to the street. Outside, the sun is low, spilling a dull orange across the concrete. The hospital towers behind her, tall and cold, and already moving on. She stops on the sidewalk, breath steady, hands still. Falling in love inside a system built on rules took everything she thought she could protect. It cost him his job. It cost her the future she built. It cost them both the clean trust they were supposed to defend. The city noise rises around her as she steps forward. The weight of the day stays on her shoulders. Some rules break people long before people break the rules.